Now, for those of you who weren't here last week we looked at the hope of Christmas, and we talked about the hope that we have in Jesus. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we remember the hope that was born, that was given to us that first Christmas morning just over 2,000 years ago. And God became flesh and blood and was born into this world as a newborn baby. But we need to remember that Jesus wasn't born into a palace. He wasn't born into a rich and powerful family. Mary was only quite young. And her adopted father, Joseph, was a poor carpenter. The place where Jesus was born was where the animals were kept. And his cradle was a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. But through Jesus, hope was born into the world. The hope of salvation, the hope of life, the hope of forgiveness, the hope of joy and peace. And having found hope in Jesus, we find that Jesus also brings purpose to our lives. So let me just pray now. Heavenly Father, we come to your word. Father, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Father, help us to put into action that which you would have us do. So we commit all these things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at the characters of Christmas. So when we looked at these characters, when we look at the shepherds, when we look at the wise men, and we look at Simeon. Now, we don't often associate Simeon with Christmas, but Simeon held the newborn baby, the newborn Jesus, just 8 days after his birth. And so in these characters' story, we discover three things, three ways that we can find purpose in God. The shepherds listened and they acted. The wise men saw and they sought. And Simeon waited and worshipped. Now, in the first passage this morning, we see the group of shepherds. And what were the shepherds doing? Well, they were doing what shepherds do best. They're watching over their sheep. They're watching over their flocks at night. And they were doing this out in the fields, just outside of Bethlehem. Now, being a shepherd wasn't exactly a prestigious job in Israel. That's despite two of their most famous men being shepherds, in both Moses and David. And because of the nature of the work and the fact that it entailed working 7 days a week, shepherds were continually held as being ceremonially unclean. And so they weren't highly regarded by the people of their own community. They were looked down upon. But on this night in question, something out of the ordinary happened. And although the shepherds weren't highly regarded by men, they were highly regarded by God. For we are told that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. They were terrified. And I want you to imagine for a moment that that was you. You're sitting peacefully out in the fields. It's night time. Have you been somewhere where it's completely dark and how spectacular that night sky is? The stars shining so bright and clear. That's what it would have been like. So you might be gazing up at the stars. You might have been looking into the embers of the fire. Then suddenly, the glory of the Lord fills the sky. The darkness vanishes in the brilliant light of that glory of the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord speaks. Can you imagine what that would have been like? But at that sight, the shepherds were terrified. And if we had been there too, we would have been terrified as well. This is something out of the ordinary. And fear is the correct response when we stand before the glory of the Lord. But the angel then says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that is for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign. You shall find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, I wonder how the shepherds felt at hearing those words. They knew the history of their own country. They knew the writings of the prophet, the Christ, the Messiah, the servant of God, whom the prophets had all prophesied would come, has been born. And an angel messenger from God himself has just confirmed it to you. It's just given you the news. Now, when news broke out in 1945 that World War II had come to an end, there was dancing and shouting and partying and celebrating in the streets. When you get good news, especially good news that you've been waiting for, that you've been hoping for, you feel elated. You feel overjoyed. Imagine the shepherds. And while this news is sinking into their hearts and minds, the scene becomes even more glorious as a large company of the heavenly host suddenly appears, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth on men on whom his favor rests." All heaven was celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now, the book of Revelation numbers more than 10,000 times 10,000 angels encircling the throne of God and worshiping and praising him. Now, think about that when you think of the scene the shepherds saw. I think what the shepherds saw is beyond our comprehension. I think you really had to be there to really appreciate the greatness and the glory of what they saw. The sky was filled with rejoicing angels. There would have been no sign of darkness. All had vanished in the splendor of God at the telling of the news. God had been born in the flesh of a baby, and he lay in a manger. Now, the angels then departed, and night became dark once more. What was the shepherd's response? They responded by saying to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Someone listening. The shepherds found purpose. We must act. We must act. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. All that they had seen and been told by the angel, everything was just as they had been told. And having seen the baby, having seen the newborn Jesus, the shepherds then went out and they spread the news concerning all that they had seen. They went throughout Bethlehem. They told everyone. And we're told that everyone who heard that news were amazed at what they heard. When the angel first appeared to the shepherds, they were afraid. And it was only when the angel spoke that their fear subsided. And this meant that they must have been hearing. They needed to listen. Fear not. Why? because I have news of great joy. It is only when we listen that we take things to heart. Listening is a deliberate act of the will. And it was in listening that the angel said, that overcame their fear. And that begs the question for us, what are we afraid of? Now, if you're a non-believer, you might be afraid of the uncertainty of what's going on in the world. And if you're a Christian, you might be afraid of sharing your faith. You might be afraid that people might look at you differently. We can learn a lesson from the shepherds. The shepherds listened. And so we need to listen to what God tells us through his word this morning. The angel said, I have news of great joy. Christ the Savior has been born. The shepherds first heard the angels, and then the hearing turned to listening, and they believed. They believe what they've been told. And Paul writes for us in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. God is saying to us this morning through his word, a Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. Jesus can save us from all our sin and from all our guilt because he is Christ the Lord. He is God in the flesh and has taken away sin and death by conquering them and rising from the dead. We need to be listening to God's word. Because through God's word, God speaks to us. And he can overcome all our fears. God said to the prophet Isaiah, do not fear, for I, the Lord, the God, am with you. So they having listened, the shepherds then acted. They went and saw for themselves what they had been told. And having seen, they went and told everybody. And having told everybody, we're told that they then returned to their flocks. But when they returned rejoicing and praising God, giving glory to God. Their newfound faith had changed them in a moment. That first Christmas morning, the shepherds listened and they acted and they found themselves as the herald of God, bringing the good news to the people of Bethlehem that Jesus Christ was born. Now, Jesus didn't come to give us purpose. He came to save us from our sins. But having come in faith and having been saved, we then find purpose for life. And that purpose is to serve God. And in serving God, just like the shepherds, we will return glorifying and praising God. When we listen to God, we will find that he has purpose for us. So like the shepherds, we must listen and then we must act. Now, our next passage this morning is about another group of men, and they're completely different from the shepherds. Now, Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus was born during the time of Herod's reign. The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. Now the story of the Magi or the wise men, that's a well-known story to all of us. But we really don't know a lot about them. But the important thing for us this morning to realize is that when they saw the star, they traveled a great distance to see the child who was born King of the Jews. They saw the star and they followed. The sign they saw signified that the King of the Jews had been born. And this was an event of such significance But they traveled to Jerusalem to worship. We saw his stars, and we have come to worship. In saying and acting like this, the Magi must have had some prior knowledge, a revelation of Jesus. This is most likely through the writings of the prophets. And the ancestors, the Magi, most likely being among the seers and the wise men of Babylon in the time of Daniel. These men saw the star in the east, and they left where they were because they knew what it meant. Christ was born, the King of the Jews, the one promised by God through the prophets, and they came to worship him. Now, the star they saw was no ordinary star. It brought them to Jerusalem. But now that they are there, they don't know where Jesus is. So they begin to ask around, where is the one who's been born, the King of the Jews? Where can we find him? They didn't know. And so that led them to King Herod. Now, I don't want to go into great detail here, but I want you to simply notice this. When the wise men went to Herod, Herod didn't know where Christ was born. So Herod summons the chief priests and he asks them, where has the Christ been born? Now, the chief priests knew the place. They knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but they didn't know that he was born. They didn't know. And so what does Herod do? He sends the wise men to find the child. But now, having left Herod, the star now appears again to the wise men. It appears to them. And this time, it leads them to where the child lay. And they came to rest over the place where they were. And these learned men, they came and they worshipped Jesus. And they lay before him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men saw the star, and it led them to seek the newborn king. In seeing, the wise men found purpose. We must seek. We must seek. And their seeking led them to Jesus. And Paul writes to the Romans, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been seen and understood through that which has been made. No wonder what life was like for the wise men before they set out for Jerusalem. Now, the fact that they left their own country to travel to a faraway place, to another people, where they'll be outsiders to seek the Messiah of Israel, the Christ of God, so that they might worship, shows that they were seeking after something better. They were seeking after something better than what they had. But I want you to see the priority of the wise men here. The priority was seeking after Jesus. And so that should be our first, most important this morning. So we should keep seeking after Jesus. Now, the Song of Solomon tells us that if we don't know the way to Jesus, to follow in the footsteps of the flock, that means to seek and to follow. And if we are to seek, we first need to be able to see. And what is it that we need to see? We need to see the truth that is in God, the truth that is in Jesus. That truth is that God entered the world as a newborn baby, so he might grow into a man, and he might put an end to sin and death by taking our place, dying upon a cross, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. They sought after Jesus. Now, I remember when I first came to Christ, And I think it's the same for each of us. We see the truth that is in Jesus. We see all that he has done for us. And know for me that when I found out, I sought with all my heart. And that is what the wise men did. And this is what you all did when you came to faith. Having come to faith, we still need to keep seeking after Jesus, because he is the way and the truth and the life. And he wants us to follow him so we can be more like him. So we must keep seeking. Magi knew the prophetic writings that the Messiah was to be born into the world, but it was upon seeing the star that they began to seek after Jesus. The star was like a little ray of evidence that shone into their hearts. God had showed them that he had done something special. He'd done something out of the ordinary. And that star led them to Jerusalem. The wise men had to keep seeking. They had to keep looking. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in Bethlehem. But God led them there. And Paul says that we see the divine nature and character and power of God in the created world. There is enough evidence in the created world to cause men to seek after Jesus. But we can also see the evidence of God's truth in a changed life. What a witness to the truth of God it is to those around us. When they see that we are different from those around us, when they see that we are different in our actions and attitudes and in our morals and in our speech, they see the truth of God's character working in us. In living for God, we find purpose, because God is glorified through us. And we are the light of Christ in this world. So let me ask you now, are you a shining beacon of the truth of God in the place where you are, in the place where you live? Do other people see how you live? Do they see the peace that you have in God? Do they see the joy that you have in God? Are you a living witness, a living testimony that God has changed your life? Wise men still seek after Jesus. Are you shining your light to show them the way? We find purpose when we look and seek after Jesus. And when we do this, we become the light that causes wise men to seek Jesus. The wise men saw and they sought. And so do we. We need to keep seeking. Now, in our third passage this morning, we're introduced to a man named Simeon. Now, Simeon, as I said, doesn't often get mentioned around the birth of Jesus. But Simeon saw the baby Jesus before the wise men ever did. When Mary and Joseph came to the temple 8 days after the birth of Jesus to offer the required sacrifice of consecration, the firstborn son, what does Simeon do? He took him in his arms and he held that precious newborn baby. Now, I love this passage about Simeon here. I want to read it out to you now. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Now, moved by the Holy Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." And look briefly at that last sentence. What a concise statement as to the mission and purpose of Jesus. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." My eyes have seen your salvation. And you, O God, have prepared it. It is a revelation to those who have not heard. And it is the glory for your people, because he is your true and eternal King. Then after that, we read that Simeon blessed them. Now, in the short space of that passage, we find three things that Simeon did. First, we learn that he waited. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel had long suffered disappointment because of their continuing sin. But Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen that consolation come. That consolation was the Lord's Christ, the suffering servant who would come and bear the sins of the world and suffer the punishment for them by taking them away. Simeon waited. Now, as a people, we don't like to wait. We live in an age of impatience. We want things, and we want things now. But God's word teaches us here that when it comes to the things of God, we need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to wait. That is because God does things in his own time. He doesn't do it in our time. He does it in his own time. Simeon had to wait. For God works his things according to his own plan, according to his own will. Simeon waited and he saw the Lord's Christ and he held him in his arms. And the result of that waiting was that Simeon saw God's faithfulness. He saw the truth of God's promise fulfilled. So the result was, secondly, that Simeon praised God. Simeon praised God. When we wait upon God, we see him work his will and all sovereignty, despite whatever the circumstances might be, despite whatever circumstances, God works his will, and the correct response for us is to praise God. God's will is always done. Simeon waited, and then he praised God. Then thirdly, he blessed Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby. Waiting upon God led to God being praised and others being blessed because of God's goodness and faithfulness. In waiting, Simeon found purpose. And he said, "I must worship. I must worship in word and in deed." Simeon waited and he worshipped. And what a lesson that is for us to learn this morning. We can do God's will, and God works his will through us. But we can't bring about God's will on our own. We need to learn to wait upon God. And waiting on God leads to us praising God, because God has done his will. He has worked his will in and through us. And it will be for all to see. And that then brings blessing to others. that brings blessing. Because God has blessed us, others are in turn blessed through us. We find purpose when we wait upon God. When we wait upon God and he works his will through us, then we will learn to live a life of praise as we see God working in our lives. Then we will labor in our Christian walk with a joy and a willingness. When others see that joy and willingness in our lives, they will be blessed. God will use us. The shepherds listened and they acted. The wise men saw and they sought. And Simeon waited and he worshipped. Now all three of these groups of men were all vastly different, but they all had one thing in common. They all experienced something that led them to Jesus. They were all led to Jesus. So are you listening to God's word and acting upon it? And that can be as simple as living a godly life. But that doing then leads to thanksgiving and praise. And just like the shepherd, we find that having acted, we find that everything is just as we've been told. Everything. The wise men saw, and they sought after Jesus. The wise men first had to seek Jesus. And so having seeking Jesus, we first come to believe. And having come to believe, we must still continue to seek after Jesus. But we use a different word. That word is discipleship. Discipleship. A disciple follows in the paths of their Savior. They walk in the footsteps of their master. Their Lord leads them, and they follow. And they follow him so that they might be more like him. We must wait upon the Lord. And in his time, we will see the glory of God and all of his promises fulfilled in our lives and in the life to come. And leads our heart to worship and to praise God, just as Simeon did. For my eyes have seen your salvation, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. We find purpose in God when we listen. We find purpose in God when we look. We find purpose in God when we wait upon him. Let me pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that he entered into this world that he might pay the penalty for our sins. And Father, we thank you for the lessons of your word. Father, we thank you for the lessons that we learned through the characters of Christmas. Father, help us to be like the shepherds. Help us to listen to your word and to act. Father, help us as a wise man to look to you and to seek after you. And Father, help us like Simeon to wait upon you for you to work your will in us and through us. Father, that we would live a life of praise and worship to you. Father, you know our weaknesses. So, Father, we pray for your enabling by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, be with us as we leave here this morning. Father, bless us with boldness to walk in your ways, to live our faith, to speak our faith. Father, to shine the light of Jesus this Christmas so that others might seek after you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.